What's cooler than being cool? Why, a Turnbuckle Boogie t-shirt, of course. So click on the show notes, follow the link to our Brainbuster tea store, and get yourself a Turnbuckle Boogie t-shirt. You get something cool, and you get to continue enjoying the shows ad-free. And we get a couple of bucks. Now, let's boogie! Hey everyone, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I am professional wrestling historian Timothy Styles, and with me, the very handsome, dapper, professional wrestler cutthroat Cody Hancock.
You're making my ego too big. I won't be able to wear a hat. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have spent a little bit of time in the sun, and we are in recovery mode. So I'm enjoying the finer things in life, like protein snack cakes and excessive amounts of protein.
Because of you just your intake is always.
Yeah, I definitely feel sore. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm keeping my protein for at least 1 gram per body weight right now, which I'm trying to go for 200 a day, but just so it can help with recovery.
That sounds like a lot.
It is.
Based on someone who doesn't know anything.
Yes. it's uncomfortable.
And you have to do the powder, right? You just can't eat 3 racks of ribs?
It'd be nice to be able to eat 3 racks of ribs, but it's the fat. I got to get my fats down.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
God, this is all so complicated.
Yes. It's not fun.
Life is much easier for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
What did you have for dinner?
Oh, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. No, I'm kidding, of course. You know, I wake up every morning and I eat my Count Chocula.
As you do.
No, I don't eat any of that shit. What did I have for dinner? Oh, I went to a small pizza party. My in-laws are in town, so.
Hey.
So there was chicken wings and pizza.
The best.
And I made sure I put my full weight behind it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to ante up.
Yeah.
You got to make sure to double down.
Well, hey, look, I have a standing rule. I've waged war on all chickens, even the tiny ones with the little legs. And I got a thing for their wings.
When you say it, it almost sounds creepy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders wasn't a hero. He was a war criminal against chickens.
Yes, very much so.
Well, folks, today's episode is centered around the Showstopper, Mr. WrestleMania, the Heartbreak Kid. What other nicknames am I missing?
Man, I think you covered up.
The Midnight Rocker.
Yeah, you've covered the basis of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Shawn Michaels. What's his real name? Was it Michael Hickenbottom?
Hickenbottom. Hickenbottom.
Was it? But his first name was Michael, right?
I believe so.
I'd change my name, too, if it was Hickenbottom.
I would as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels is an infinitely cooler name than Hickenbottom.
It's a shame he's not an infinitely cooler dude.
Yeah. we could definitely talk about that for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I was younger, when he was a babyface, you know, as the Rockers were cool.
Now, yes.
That was a young me who had no knowledge of, or at least a passing knowledge of, the Rock and Roll Express, which, look, let's face it, the WWE's Rockers, or even AWA's Midnight Rockers,
yep,
was a cheap ripoff of the Rock and Roll Express.
Yes. However, I did enjoy the Rockers theme song.
Sure. Whatever that's worth. It's not everything. Too much focus is put on entrance music.
I just enjoyed the theme song.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I like entrance music, but a little bit, especially in the WWE, too much is put on people's entrances, where it's like a routine that has to be done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, goddamn, I wish some motherfuckers would just trot to the ring and get their fight on. I don't have to deal with all this posing and shit.
I enjoy a little bit of pageantry.
I enjoy the pageantry, but if you do the same pageant every week for 15 years, is it still, you know what I mean? Like, the fans seem to like it, I guess,
yeah,
because they're stupid.
Well,
no, I'm saying they got the lizard part of their brain.
Yeah, and well, in that it is very pleasing. Like, and if you look at people, they'll mimic Randy Orton's pose, you know, in parking lots and things of that nature. So I think the imagery is something that should be said for sure. Don't mind me. I was so proud of myself today. Off air, I was setting up my microphone.
Cody is fixing his microphone, gang, because he's not talking into it. He's a pro wrestler, not an audio man.
That's me.
Anyway, what were you saying?
But I understand why. I get it. I definitely get it.
Why the focus on intros?
Yeah, because they're the same. Always make an entrance, right?
All right. Are you done with the mic stand business?
I am done with the mic stand. All right, folks, should be done with the mic stand. We're doing good.
We'll carry on our conversation. Yes. We'll act like all that funny noise didn't happen. We're professional here at Turnbuckle Boogie.
The most professionalist.
That's funny. You were saying about introductions.
Yeah, I think that it's just wrestling pleases the animal brain.
Right.
For sure. And especially by building memory patterns and exploiting them in order to gain specific responses.
Sure.
So wrestling is not rocket science, but it's elementary school. Square peg, put the square peg through the square hole.
Right. Fans are stupid. I get it. I heard you.
I didn't say that out loud. I didn't say that out loud.
No, I'll look. Yeah. I don't know. There's a problem. I have a very acute level of intellectuality.
Yes.
And I catch on to these things right away. I can smell them.
Yes.
In the air. And I go, all right, I see what you're doing, and I don't like it, because I'm smarter than the average duck out here.
Yes.
I want to see, you know, the best entrances is, you know, Stone Cold just walking out with swagger and just straight up double legging a guy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is what I pay to see. Someone whips some ass.
Yeah.
I guess what I don't pay to see is, especially it happens with women, because they have to have this intricate, like, I come out, I do a pose where I half show my ass, and then I turn with my face like this. Ah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, all right, come on, get the fucking ring. If you spent less time on this and more on, I don't know, anything, toe holds,
yeah,
you'd be a fucking killer by now.
So what you're telling me is that you skip entrances on wrestling video games.
Oh, that's a good question, because some people do that, don't they?
Yes.
I should, but by the way, I haven't played a wrestling video game in some time, just because I've been sort of unimpressed. I do play them for the immersion.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So you watch the entrance when you're playing a wrestling video game, but you complain about watching the entrance live.
No, I'm saying, why does it have to be the exact same down to the exact move every time?
The exact movement.
Because I'll tell you, in some of the later WWE 2K games, I think there was a button that you could just press, like,
and you
when you're coming
just
out.
Beat them up.
Well, yeah, you just stop doing the motion, the animation of whatever poses you had, and you just run to the ring and beat the shit out of somebody.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, I want to see the entrance with the music and all that stuff, but I'm hitting that fucking button. Let's get this shit going.
Well, for me, I think I don't know. Like, I understand.
You're a pro wrestler.
Where
you
you're
have
coming
to think
from.
These things.
Well, and the thing is that when I followed, I used to, every ring entrance would change.
Right.
And there was nothing set in stone, and there was no signature pose or anything like that. But now that I have added those in, crowds participate.
Sure.
With it. And I feel like if you do not anchor something for people to not latch on to, you know, I get the benefit of actually having the pose and sure. the entrance and things like that. You know, it's probably the best thing about The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sing his praises, you know, and like even Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he did do his ring entrance, he hits all four corners. He gets his pose in.
I mean, is there a better entrance than Rowdy Roddy Piper, WrestleMania 3? Walking out slow as shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mile long walk. It was so long that they had a go-kart to drive everyone to the ring.
Yep.
And he waltzes out there like, fuck it.
Yep.
Because it was supposedly going to be his last match.
Yep.
And that's what you get for believing Vince McMahon. Hey, we'll have a retirement match.
Yeah, that's what anyone gets for believing Vince McMahon. But yeah, I get the... And I think the entrance discussion like kind of links into talking about your set list, you know?
Okay.
So when you go and you see your favorite band.
You're dabbling in my area here.
Yes.
Folks, I'm a former musician.
Yeah. And when you go and you see your favorite band, but they don't play any of the songs that you know, it's like, oh, it's just new material only night,
mm-hmm.
right? There's going to be people that are going to leave disappointed because they are fans of seeing that specific thing.
Your metaphor went awry. I thought you were going to say, hey, you go to see your favorite band, and they don't play that killer opener that they always play.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Well, no, it's better that you stuck with what you stuck with, because I'll tell you, I had some killer openers, but you can't do that every time, because eventually, you know what happens? People start to care less because it wears them out. They've seen it 100 times, or however many times they see it. That's from the band point of view.
Yeah.
As wrestling is different. Wrestling fans are much more forgiving, and they want to see the come out and the pose and all this sort of stuff. But I think I really got over it about when The Miz was, sliding into the ring in a Naito fashion and, you know, the camera would get all close because the cameramen were part of the choreography.
Oh, yeah.
The cameraman would get all close and he'd, you know, raise his eyebrows like, yes.
Yeah.
I am awesome. Just like the song says.
It says it in the song.
That's right.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's not one person in that fucking arena at that time who believed that. Like, this guy's the shits. Boo.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, Shawn Michaels. That was a nice diverge into a different direction. It's interesting. Shawn Michaels, you know, once he turned on Marty Jannetty, the famous
barbershop window.
Yeah, he super kicks him through the barbershop window. If I had only known at that time that the super kick was going to be done by every human being ever 8,000 times in an evening,
yep.
I would have fucking super kicked him myself through the TV. Son of a bitch, don't do it.
Yeah.
But when he turned and he became the bad guy, and he was mostly a bad guy for the majority of his career, except for a couple year stretch.
Yep.
I remember my mom seeing him and he was like in jeans and no shirt. And she goes, woof, hubba, hubba. And I was like, oh, mom, for God's sakes.
Cool it, mom. Cool it, mom.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn my back to you right now. And if you want to go on your own, then walk off and leave. If you want to stick together and make this thing work, when I turn around, we're going to shake hands and we're going to go on a rock and roll like the rockers can do.
They need each other. You know that.
Sounds fair to me.
He's not going to walk away.
They need each other.
Told you.
Tag team specialists.
See, one without the other isn't any good.
Oh, I knew he was going to do that. I just knew he was going to do that. He don't need Jannetty.
I told you that off and on.
Are you kidding? What a despicable act that was. No!
Oh my God.
Right through the glass window of the barber shop.
Jannetty tried to dive through the window to escape. Did you see that?
Are you blind?
What an act of cowardism. Oh, he's hurt. A plate glass window.
Oh, look at that. He's busted wide open. We need a paramedic here.
Is there a problem with the horse?
They're done. They're finished, Monsoon.
Yeah, there's a problem with you, Sean.
Rockers are history.
1 week away. Is he going to be ready for the Royal Rumble?
He don't look at that. Down. Bleeding profusely.
What's redder than her nails?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, get some help over here, will
you? But, you know, he was a bad guy, and I treated him as such. You know, not that I was I don't know, a complete mark at the time, but, you know, he was just good at being a no-good piece of shit.
You were young enough to go along with what was being presented to you
without being completely fooled by it. Yeah. So you could enjoy it.
Well, that's no different than when I was growing up. I hated the NWO because I was young and I'm like, no, fucking Sting and Lex Luger are going to save the fucking day.
They really were dastardly.
Yes. And I couldn't stand it.
And with smart older fans that ruined it and turned them into rock stars.
And that's what I hated about it.
Right.
And little did we know, much like the super kick, the impact that would taking.
How about the wolf hand signal, the wolf pack hand signal?
Don't forget the two sweet me, bro.
Oh, yeah. All of that stuff.
Yep. And I think it's just really
tired.
But they'll keep doing it because everyone reacts to it.
Sure.
And that's the...
But isn't it cheap?
Extremely.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, and pro wrestling, they're not too proud to be cheap.
Not at all.
No, not at all. Anything for a pop, brother.
Hey, I'm the babyface, and I am going to wear the jersey of the hometown sports team. And
right, you're in New York. You got any pinstripe gear? Of course I do, just for this occasion.
And if I'm the bad guy, I'm going to come out and talk about how the Yankees suck.
Right.
And you're going to boo.
No, you show up in Boston colors. You know, the Red Sox. Boo, this guy's the shits. Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom feeders.
But does it say something about pro wrestling or does it say something about people?
Yes.
I mean, that's a serious...
No.
That's an egg to crack.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm the one who's wrong in this scenario for feeling the way that I feel.
I don't think that you're wrong. You're valid.
Fair enough. But what I'm saying is I have a lifetime of being an artist. I am addicted to creativity. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I got really good at drawing at a very... young age, single digits, you know, and that led into painting and other visual forms of art. And those visual forms of art lent themselves to more literary forms of art, like writing poetry and short stories, and then eventually some longer things like stage plays, novellas, and things like this. And then eventually into more performance-based arts, like acting in theater, stand-up comedy, my interest in pro wrestling altogether. Like I said, many episodes, I was very close to going to wrestling school. And then ultimately with music, which, you know, took my life in a certain direction because I ended up being in bands over the course of 15 years. I'm addicted to creativity and I scoff at laziness. But unfortunately, the world of pro wrestling, as much as I love it, it's riddled with just people getting cheap pops. But the fans will buy it, so they'll keep doing it. And I just have to go, whatever.
And so from your perspective, it's laziness.
It's laziness after a point.
Oh, yes.
The Rock, at a certain point, went from being one of the most creative talkers on that roster to one of the laziest performers I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it took a long time for the fans to catch on, but when they did, those cheers turned to boos.
Yes. And they're, for the most part, though, people remember that more fondly, I think. And
that's my fault for having a decent memory, I guess.
No, that's not your fault. But for me, if I go out in my next wrestling match and all I do is new material,
mm-hmm.
I run the risk of it not landing.
Crickets.
Yeah. Right. You run the risk of it just not thinking, it's not looking the way that you think. And I will very rarely debut something new. But if it ends up getting good reaction, that ends up being part of my set list. And for me, I enjoy creativity as well.
Right.
But there's some things that I have that are in the can.
Yeah, you got your closing bit.
Yes. And I use what's canned, and then I really play with my creativity in the realm of how my match is structured.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something with wrestling, is that since it does feed the animal brain, and when people are reacting to rhythms, it's why the rule of threes in professional wrestling works so well.
The rule of threes works in a lot of things.
Yes. And you set an expectation, you satisfy the expectation, and then you divert. And when you do things like that,
I think you got part two and part three mixed up. I think you probably divert first. You set the expectation, then you give them the swerve, then you pay it off.
Yeah. Well,
that makes more sense.
So for the structure of what I was saying is that you establish.
Yeah.
You cement the expectation.
Yeah.
Establish, cement, and then you divert in order to get a reaction.
Oh, we're not talking about in one match. We're talking about over the course of a...
I'm just talking career. About the... like that could
in
be,
general, you mean.
It, yeah. It, like, it, like if I'm setting up a spot with somebody.
Sure.
Right? If I give you two body slams.
Right.
And I go to pick you up for a third, but then you slip behind me and then you give me one, which is then in sequence of three. And if I'm a bad guy and you're a good guy,
mm-hmm.
that will get a reaction from sure. the crowd, a positive one. And that is a series of expectations that you set and then you take them away.
Does anybody do body slams anymore or just in training?
CM Punk.
Well,
until
he comes back.
Yeah, he was spamming the body slam quite often, actually.
That's funny. Spamming the body slam.
He was hitting multiple every match.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And
I was convinced this guy's doing this on purpose just to show.
Yes.
You don't got to be burning all these calories
yeah.
to go pop in a crowd.
Yeah. No.
A little psychology take you a long way.
Yeah. And for me, I prefer snap suplexes over body slams.
Of course.
Yeah. That's my normal
then Benoit
bread and butter
suplexes are pretty tight.
Yes, I did a body slam recently, so yeah, I guess I still use body slams.
Well, let's talk about the routine, right? Okay, Cutthroat Cody. The music kicks on. What's the name of your song right now, or is it a custom made one?
So I don't think there was a name for the song that I was.
It's called the Cutthroat Cody theme song.
Yeah,
it hits.
Made by Dixon Hill.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah.
It hits. You come out. You strike the Cutthroat Cody pose with the arms out and
beat my chest, and then I go down to one knee, and then I do the pose.
Right, because the C in one hand and the T body pose, and the C in the other hand.
Yes,
there's some shouting. You're probably yelling, "Come on, motherfuckers!" or
something
some
like
other,
that.
Yeah. What are you saying?
That's different all the time.
Oh, is it?
That will always.
I love bologna sandwiches.
Yes. It's normally cereal.
If that were me just to entertain myself, I would be the guy yelling something different every time, but something completely irrelevant. Like, I ate Count Chocula for breakfast.
Oh, man. Pork chop sandwiches.
Mm.
Do you ever see the G.I. Joe PSAs?
Of course.
And did you ever see the dubbed over G.I. Joe PSAs?
Of course not.
You haven't seen those.
No.
Who wants a body massage? I'll have to show you those. You'll love them. It's on the internet. It's my favorite place. And then
I only hang out in the dark web.
I
like watching beheading videos and
I was just watching
No, I'm just kidding.
I was just watching a little tiny mini documentary on the Faces of Death series.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna watch that on the fear that I might actually see something from Faces of Death.
Yep. How many were there? There was like four or five.
I remember four.
Yeah.
I just remember the guy, you know, the guy, well, you watch the documentary, you must know, the guy who created Faces of Death would go on to create Girls Gone Wild. And I think he's being butt raped with a broomstick in jail right now.
That came up recently, too. I forgot that Girls Gone Wild did a collaboration with WWE for an event.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What was that about?
Let's get them
TTs out.
Yeah.
Triple H is probably out there encouraging the girls. Of course it was.
It was Test. Yeah.
Test.
Yeah. And OSW Review on YouTube did a review of it. It's quite an interesting piece of wrestling history.
Is there a more inappropriate name for a character than Test? Well, I don't know. If you look at it as testosterone, maybe. But Test,
Rest in peace, by the way. Yes, I didn't mind him.
No?
I didn't mind him.
It was Test and Albert was the big team for him.
TNA.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, TNA.
Yep.
Boy, fucking Russo needs to be drugged behind a pickup truck.
Man. Yeah. And like, yes.
TNA.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Low-hanging fruit. But with Michaels... Like, since we're talking about establishing stuff, the tuning up the band.
Sure.
Right. And over time, when he tuned up the band, someone would always catch the foot or they would duck it or they'd accidentally hit the referee. But then eventually he would end up getting the kick out of nowhere.
Right.
If the kick came out of nowhere, artistically, I think that'd be like, oh, Shawn Michaels just wrestling a match. He didn't go and tune up the band. He just hit the super kick after ducking a clothesline.
Right.
I think that him tuning up the band always helps because then it sets in people's minds he's going for it.
Yeah, you gotta, build anticipation by doing something interesting. That's you know. No big deal.
Wrestling is anticipation.
Of course.
So, and I feel like people anticipate the entrance just as much.
Right.
You know?
You're looking for the gimmick or the finish or whatever it is. You're building toward this thing. And we're playing a game of keep away. If this guy hits the super kick, it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts tuning up the band and people start going, oh, and then, the guy catches the foot or dives out of the way or cartwheels out of the ring or however you powder nowadays.
Yeah.
But eventually he catches it. They pop and that's when you take it home.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Write this down and send it to most indie wrestlers out there. That's when to call it. You don't go on for another 15 minutes.
I always tell people about chasing pops. And there's it's a very brave game.
My favorite cereal behind Count Chocula and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
There we go.
Chasing pops.
I was a big fan of Cookie Crisp.
You're just fucking eating cookies.
Yeah. Cookie Crisp is really good.
Of course, that's cookies.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like cookies?
Precisely.
Well, on behalf of San Antonio, welcome home. Are you going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin's tag team partner here tonight?
The million-dollar question. Is the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels going to once again be the partner of Stone Cold Steve Austin and become the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions again right here in my hometown of San Antonio, Texas? Well, it is no secret to everybody in the wrestling world that I am not 100%, but the last time that Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels tagged up and became the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions, neither one of us was 100%, so believe me, I'm good enough to go right now. But that is up to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, as I've been sitting home the last couple weeks in my big new home up in the hills, I couldn't help but to notice my buddy and yours, Bret the Hitman Hart, tell everybody that if he did not win the World Wrestling Federation Championship at SummerSlam, he would never wrestle on U.S. soil once again. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but I have been waiting a long time to see Bret Hart's sorry ass get out of the United States of America. So having said that, I currently right now am not scheduled to be at SummerSlam. That's not my decision. That's someone else's around here. So, if I could appeal to you, boss man, if I get down on my knees in front of my hometown people and beg you to please allow me, the dirty, rotten employee that I am, please allow me to just be a part of SummerSlam. I'll set up the ring. I'll sell souvenirs at the souvenir stand. I will sell tickets at the front door. Ha! Vin Man, I'll shine your shoes if you just please grant me one ticket to SummerSlam, because it's my guess that The Undertaker is gonna bury Bret the Hitman Hart and run him out of this country. And alongside every single person in San Antonio, Shawn Michaels wants to see Bret Hart get the hell out of here.
Shawn Michaels!
I think something, if we're going to talk about Chasing Shawn Michaels.
Pops. Sorry, don't switch off.
Chasing Pops, like, it's, you can really challenge yourself if you can out pop yourself. But a lot of people run the risk of that thing that you did 4 fall seasons ago.
Right.
Looked a lot better than what you did
to end it
3 fall seasons ago.
Right.
So you probably just should have wrapped up, just close shop.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there's a lot of people that they see it and they try to emulate it because they know that's how matches are structured now.
Yeah.
Matches are structured around false finishes, where false finishes back in the day were something that were a little bit more special.
Yeah, they were rare.
Yes. And I think that you were talking about WrestleMania 3 earlier with Piper, to mention Steamboat and Savage. You know, the amount of false finishes that were in that match.
I'm surprised you don't know off the top of your head.
It was 21 or something like that.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
For the time.
Yes.
It was 21 more than you were going to see in most of the matches that evening.
Yeah. And that was, now that's become the norm.
Right.
And that's,
well, I'm not against, like, you know, having a bunch of covers. Somebody hits a move. Oh, he goes for the cover, because these people do need to look like they're trying to win a contest here.
Yes.
But the real, you know, you are building heat and working towards a you know, a final, you know, gimmick here where people are going to go, he got it. And, you know, that's whether you choose. It was about probably WrestleMania, maybe 15 or 17 with The Rock and Stone Cold, where, I don't know, Vince McMahon maybe took the governor off, and they had a bunch of false finishes after all their finishers that they did. You know, it was like the first time where people saw people kicking out of finishers on a regular basis.
Yes.
I forget if it was 15 or 17, but it was really egregious with them. And it made those matches really remarkable.
Yes.
But it would become more and more commonplace after that.
And that's something that I wish that people would understand, because it's very easy to watch what they were doing back then. It's no different than when you see people start with the Rock Austin spot on the indies and they just start punching each other.
Right.
Well, why? Like, why would you just start punching each other? You're supposed to wrestle.
Work into it.
Yeah.
The hockey fight spot became a big deal.
Yes. Low blows.
Low blows overworked?
There was a lot of low blows, too.
Yeah. That seemed like cheap booking to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, you guys got to go out there and do 15 minutes, and you low blow him for the win. Oh, why do I have to do that? Because I can't sour both of you.
Yep.
You know, we got to preserve this and keep it going. And it's like, God dang, can we see a clean finish every now and then?
When I was first starting out with wrestling training, low blows were like very much don't do them. Like, stop doing them, because
for the love of God.
Yep. They had taken such a stranglehold on the industry. Like, people were just like, hey, whatever you do not do a low blow in your match.
Right.
And trying to clear a low blow with a promoter, it was normally a losing effort. And it's
only good for promoters.
Yeah. Well, back then anyway.
Think about how when Brock Lesnar returned and he went on this tear where he was beating the shit out of people. John Cena, Randy Orton, I mean, everyone. You know, he was this undefeatable monster who would basically bust guys open and just suplex them to death.
Yeah.
The only time he ever lost, it's because he took one in the pills.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding. He would take a shot in the junk, and then he would have to sell or whatever.
I like how you went ding, ding. Because, like, I think everyone
that's has the sound played, your balls make
when you get hit in the nuts and No Mercy. Yes,
right.
Like, the ring bell would always ding.
It's funny.
Yes, it was absolutely brilliant. But I think that if we're going to talk about Shawn Michaels,
when are we going to start doing that?
let's start with, why do you think he was such a headache? What do you think? Where did that stem from?
His father? I don't know. it's funny. Like, he was a good heel. And I think he had a relationship with McMahon backstage. And McMahon, for whatever reason, let him act like a jerk off, and he continued that behavior, and it spun out of control until the minute he retired. Actually, probably minutes after, because I don't know if you've ever seen that footage of the post WrestleMania 15. Was it 15? No, it was 14, maybe, when Stone Cold beat HBK. Like, there, he's given a press conference, and Shawn Michaels is out behind the press. Mm. And he fucking storms out, just big temper tantrum, you know?
Yeah. No, I do not remember seeing that.
It's little extra features kind of shit. It wasn't during the thing, but yeah, he was a big pain in the ass, and I was never a fan. And I mean, literally ever, except for the Rockers era.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the D-Generation X was childish at best, you know, a bunch of like low brow, like dick and pussy jokes and the suck it. And it wasn't enough. They just like, you know, do the crotch chop and go suck it. You know, that was enough. That would have been fine. But it was like the Seth Rollins-esque, like hyena laughing,
yeah,
jumping around like you were 12. And it's like, this is fucking weird that a grown man is doing this.
Yes. And, like a very much a, like very grown man.
Yeah.
Very
a grown man with a fucking a pill and alcohol problem.
And I think that it's, I can go back and watch Michaels objectively now, and I can appreciate why he was praised the way that he was. He was a brilliant performer.
Yeah, I have a mild theory about that.
Tell me.
Because it never made sense to me that so many people were like, Shawn Michaels is the greatest pro wrestler who ever lived. Like, I was like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? There seemed to be this switch where the lines between pro wrestlers and fans became blurred. With all due respect, the Marks jumped the barricade, so to speak, and jumped into the industry. And if you know anything about work, that guy's work was really good.
Yes.
You know, and once that sort of word travels in the internet age, it gets to the fans. And the fans hear enough wrestlers say Shawn Michaels is the greatest worker of all time, it can be misconstrued with Shawn Michaels is the best wrestler of all time. Shawn Michaels was a great heel. And yeah, from a smart fan's point of view, he was a terrific worker. The guy was a great salesman and really knew how to manipulate psychology to put on great matches.
Yeah.
He was also, well, I guess I already said he was a great heel, and therefore I thought he was the shits and I hate him.
Yeah.
It was nice that he got to have a little comeback, but it was strangely all during some years I wasn't watching WWE because it was the, it's strange. The Attitude Era was really when he, the day he left,
mm-hmm.
and then the, it ended the day he came back. You know what I mean? Like the highest popularity of the WWE in history started the day he left, the day he lost the championship to Steve Austin, and then the, not necessarily the day he returned, but probably shortly before that. And he put on some great matches when he returned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the Shawn Michaels with the chaps.
The brown gear?
The fake chaps. Shawn Michaels had...
He always had chaps.
Well, but wearing them as his gear, not his entrance gear,
mm-hmm.
right? Like he had the pants that had the chaps, that the fake chaps that were on him.
Right.
He had some tremendous matches.
Yeah.
And
hey, look, those matches that he had with the Undertaker,
yeah,
back to back, were both pretty stellar. And I'll say this: changed the industry. You can make an argument for the worse. Because, you know, much like Rage Against the Machine inspired an entire fucking shitty genre of music. Hey, look, rap rock is fucking... Name a lot of great rap rock bands.
Public Enemy.
I would not call them a fucking rap rock band. I think that's insulting to hip hop. They're just a rap group.
The Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, boy.
I'm now fucking waiting.
Throw these microphones to the side. We're going to stretch out here.
There it is.
You know, they would put on these matches with these certain spots that I have seen people replicate certain little things in these matches still to this day.
There's
still the big eyed spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He kicked out. You got to scooch back on your butt and have your eyes all big. Go like, oh, I can't believe it. How many times have you seen that in the past? What? 10 years?
It's become an industry standard.
Right. And it's even then, I think it's starting probably maybe a year or two ago starting to cool off, because it's like, all right, you know, we've buried this one to death.
Yeah.
You know, thank goodness people had the wherewithal to do that.
Yeah.
I think even people have cooled off on things like the Canadian Destroyer and stuff recently.
It depends. I think that if there's subsects of wrestling, you're going to see Canadian Destroyers and Lucha, you know, sure, like on a frequent basis.
I guess if you got to go to a place with no standards.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of places. There's a lot of places where they encourage the standard of the Canadian Destroyer.
SummerSlam. I will give you and the WWE fans something to remember. And of course, all of you here in Montreal know that I am all about Series 1997. Because I screwed Brett. I did it once, and I'd do it again. If Brett the Hitman Hart had any guts, tonight, step into this ring and look me eye to eye like a man, I'd say, Hitman, I screwed you once and I'll screw you again.
But yeah, I just wasn't ever into Shawn Michaels. He was a good enough heel that I was just like, fuck this guy. And then, you know, it's one of these things like, you know, there's bands that I don't hate, but I'm not rushing out to buy their albums.
Yeah.
And he's that. Even though he's responsible for some really great music.
Yeah.
I'm sure Shania Twain is a brilliant songwriter. But I ain't owning that fucking album because I don't fucking care. You know what I mean?
Let's go,
girls.
Is
this metaphor?
Yes.
Make it sense.
Let's go, girls.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah. You're going to kick a door down.
What I'm saying is Shawn Michaels is the Shania Twain of pro wrestling. A great word craftsman.
Yeah.
With a bunch of hits that I don't own an album of.
There's plenty of reports about him to where I hope that the him being a better guy is true, you know.
I'm sure that it is.
Yeah, and
I'm with the exception of Dax Harwood.
Yeah,
it's been mostly stellar.
Yeah, finding Jesus does that to you.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, he teamed with God.
Why do people have to go there? Look, if you believe in God and Jesus and religion or whatever, that's great. But is it necessary to go that way to redeem yourself? Can't you just be like, call everyone you were ever a dick to and go, hey, look, I know you hate me. I want you to know. I realize why you hate me. I was an asshole. I'm sorry. That's that. Whatever.
Yeah. No, that's not normal.
You have to go, hey, man. I was a dick back then, but guess what? Go Jesus all the way. it's an easier sell.
It is very, for some people, I guess it's palatable.
I heard that from my own wife. Hey, you're an asshole. It's like, okay, but you know, if you hear me start yelling, talking about Jesus, like, hey, man, things have changed. Go Jesus.
Yeah.
You know that something's gone terribly wrong, or I'm lying through my teeth.
I've been low enough in moments in my life to where I can understand how people turn to religion, but I just, that was one thing that was just so bizarre to me.
What was that?
Just the Shawn Michaels and God angle.
Of course.
Where Vince McMahon is like, I just booked you. What was the match? It was McMahon and it was God and Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon and maybe Shane.
Right.
Something like that. And it's just
bizarre.
It was so weird.
It was Vince McMahon at his most. Yeah, this was during a time where Vince McMahon was a real shithead.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is during a time where, you know, he's pulling Jim Ross's head out of his ass unnecessarily to know, you know, what's the payoff here?
Yeah.
Man, we're just getting a few laughs at your expense, brother. It's like, don't you have talent for that?
Yeah.
You know, or running these sort of skits where he's going into a church and doing the Triple H entrance with the holy water. And it's like, you know, like I said, I've said this about Vince McMahon before. The guy has as far as being a promoter goes, the guy has an understanding of the fundamentals that every person who's in the industry should pay attention to.
Yeah.
But he also is out of touch with a lot of other things, and he also doesn't know when to leave well enough alone.
Very much so.
And someone should have stepped in and went, hey, Vince, you know this angle with you versus God? It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, it's not going to work the way
you think
it is. Where
you're going to fucking wrestle the lighting crew who are shining a beam down into the ring.
Yeah.
Man. It's like, you know what it was like? It's like when these guys go like, hey, go out there and have a match with a inflatable doll or whatever. It's like,
Yoshinko.
Yeah. What is this for? Just to see if we can do it.
And surprisingly enough, people do it.
Of course they do. Doesn't mean they should.
Yeah. Well, wrestling's fun in some aspects. Well, it was just bizarre to me that was... Man, watching that on, I can't get the image out of the Triple H entrance.
It's funny.
It is. But I don't want to like it.
Well, no one wants to like anything Vince McMahon does because he's a jerk.
He's a kook.
And he was able to run unchallenged as a something of the godfather of an entire industry.
Yeah.
For generations.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck? And especially when you watch the quality of those shows, particularly during that time, they were bad.
They were.
You know, he might have a little moment like that where it's like, hey, check this out. Guess who I am? Triple H. You know, like, yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, watch the rest of that fucking show that you've never seen. There aren't any highlight clips in that. The fucking matches stank. The booking stank. Half of the characters were the shits.
The cruiserweight roster on SmackDown was pretty okay.
I'm not burying anyone specific. But look, there's a reason why I and a lot of people just simply weren't watching.
Yep.
You know.
It was time. It has ran its course, and the peaks and valleys, I feel like it is funny that you mentioned that Michaels was not there for the
Attitude Era
majority of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
the minute he left, things popped off.
Yeah.
That was actually officially the day that I switched from WCW to Raw, from Nitro to Raw. I started watching the day Steve Austin won the title because it was just too hard to ignore at that point. That programming was entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And I, but I was already had checked out by the time Shawn Michaels had shown back up. And that was maybe 4, 5, 6 years later, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So,
man, that's crazy.
Yeah. The greatest pro wrestler of all time wasn't there during the most successful time period. What does that tell you?
Mr. WrestleMania.
Yeah. Guy's a great worker, but
yep.
Didn't sell as many shirts as Stone Cold, I guess.
Maybe that was it, you know? And the click era and a lot of those stories, it's hard to hear just because I've endured a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just that they partnered up with each other and they made a lot of people's lives hell, but they were smart enough to position themselves at the top of the heap.
I'm sure they made a lot of people's lives hell, but they also were directly responsible. I'll give them a little credit. They were directly responsible for helping make that program come into the 20th century.
Yeah.
Finally. Or, you know, at least inch closer to the 21st century than what they were
yeah.
doing. The era that you hold in such high regard with the wrestlers who also have jobs era.
Yeah.
You know, it was lame.
Well, the matches were fun, though.
Of course. The yeah. matches anywhere you go are
I will die on that.
Watch
hill.
Hulk Hogan's fucking celebrity wrestling challenge. I'm sure some of those matches were fine.
Who was one of the guys that was on that? The short little redhead dude that was like a child star. Danny.
Oh, Danny. What's his face?
Danny Bonaducci?
From the Partridge Family.
Yes. Right.
That's how you know a fucking a show has hit rock bottom when
yes.
he's around.
Yes. Man.
He's probably smoking as he's getting in the ring. I can do a 5-star classic. Anyone can.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Danny Bonaducci.
Anyone can learn to wrestle. It's that extra shit that makes the difference.
I agree with that. That is something that is a very true statement.
It's a little gross generalization on my part. Not anyone yeah. can wrestle. Some people just have two left feet and they never get it. But,
yeah.
you know, with enough instruction, look, I haven't fucking danced in 2 decades.
Yeah.
But if I went to a dance choreographer, a professional dancer, and they showed me a whole routine and they pieced it together for me piece by piece. In 4 weeks, I can do that routine. It'd be hard fucking work to get there, but yeah. I could do that routine.
Yeah.
Now, could I sell tickets to have people see that fucking dance? No way.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
And it's just
that's when the poses come in and the bologna sandwich and the
yes.
Count Chocula.
Yes. there's so many. I'll never forget how it made me feel watching the Montreal Screwjob happen live.
Mm.
And also recently.
It was weird.
Yeah. Like I wasn't live in the arena, but I was watching on pay-per-view.
Were you smart? Did you go like, hey, are they going to turn this into a storyline? Did you think that fucking Brett would be gone the next day?
I reacted as if it was they really screwed Brett. Like I
ironically, they did.
Yeah. And that's how I reacted because I was a Bret Hart fan. Like, even that was during Brett's heel run.
Right.
I was a Bret Hart fan. Right. And I was a Canada sympathizer, I guess.
Think about all the footage of Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels saying, like, no, man, you know, it wasn't Shawn Michaels. You know, like, during sit-down interview that Vince McMahon gives with Jim Ross with the Brett screwed Brett business.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, he says, hey, Shawn Michaels, and it's not his fault. And it's like, knowing what we all know now, it's like, my God, and we're going to talk about fucking master manipulators.
Yeah.
This guy was probably right there going, yeah, let's stick it to him.
Yeah.
You know, because he had no love for that son of a bitch. That's pretty well recorded. And of course, the Beyond the Mat. No, sorry, not Beyond the Mat. Hitman Hart. Wrestling with Shadows, it's called. Sorry. Where, yeah, they're in the same locker room. So that's weird. And
yep.
he's going, you didn't know nothing about that? He's going, I didn't know nothing, man. Swear to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, guy's a great actor. No wonder he's a good wrestler.
And it was, that was something for me that I can't remember who we were talking about recently. Like, but just there was something about Michaels that always read as high school jock. Like,
hey, I think he was probably a linebacker on his high school team.
Yeah. And it didn't resonate with me whatsoever. And then even seeing there was a match he had with Vader.
Oh, and yeah.
It was a great match.
He had so much pull.
Yeah.
Think about how much of an ass he acted like. That business with Vader where he's, you know, fucking doing foolish shit in the ring with him.
Yes.
You know.
That's what I was about to say. And you know, and he tells...
Or fucking around with Sonny or any number of things.
He tells Vader to move. Vader doesn't move. And then Michaels, like, stomps on his head.
Right.
And, like, bends over and is like, move, fuck. Like, just, like, starts having this tantrum.
Right.
Like...
Meanwhile, Vader... who could kill that man in 2 seconds anytime he wanted, was sort of powerless because Shawn Michaels was the chess player's favorite piece.
Yep, and he was untouchable.
Right.
And that's the disadvantage.
Which I still don't understand.
Yeah.
Why was Vince McMahon so in love with Shawn Michaels?
Maybe there was some type of spirit that Michaels had that McMahon probably saw in himself.
I think he had naked pictures of him.
And well, I mean, if if you owned the issue of Playgirl, everyone had naked pictures of him.
No, I'm saying I think Shawn Michaels had naked pictures of Vince McMahon. Like, you either fucking that put me it. Over or these pictures, all these dick pics you've been sending me. I'm going to mail to your old lady in the press.
This is back way before the days of pictures of people's penises were flying around.
I put nothing past Vince McMahon.
No, not at all.
He's the P.T. Barnum of dick pics.
The P.T. Barnum of dick pics. Man, that's what a absolutely bizarre time to see where the industry is going.
Now
without McMahon's influence.
Well, it is funny kind of that the final boss mode of D-Generation X is running the WWE.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, Shawn Michaels is the head of creative and talent development over at the Performance Center. And, you know, basically is the one putting NXT together and Triple H is doing everything else seemingly.
Yeah.
On the non-business side of things. He's the creative man.
Yep. And it's.
Kevin Nash must not have needed a job. He's like, fuck it.
Yeah. Kevin Nash. I think Kevin Nash was probably really smart with his money. I don't think that he.
I don't think these guys were not smart with their money. They just love the biz, I guess, which is great.
And Kevin Nash seems to be a little bit more open to talking in public. He's got his own podcast now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Click this.
With Sean Oliver, I believe.
Yeah. I'm a fan of his.
Of course. He used to do all the kayfabe videos series. He's a funny dude.
Yeah. Very, very, very intelligent.
Dry sense of humor as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little deadpan. It's fun.
Yeah, but it's not like X-Pac doesn't need a gig. He's got a dog to feed that's attached to his chest like Quato in Total Recall.
Oh, my God. Leave that man's dog alone.
I'm not saying anything bad about his dog, except for that it's attached to his chest.
He wants to keep it close to him.
No shit.
This is an emotional support puppy.
Can I say X-Pac, which I believe we'll be having if we haven't already. I forget. We're going to be having an X-Pac episode.
Yeah.
And I'll say this about X-Pac, and I'm sure I'll bring it up again during his episode. This man had sex with Jameis Jennison in her prime.
Yeah.
Therefore, and I don't mean to be crass. I know it's a different time, but he's a goddamn hero.
What a legend.
Well, there is no hotter chick than Jenna Jameson in her prime. Now,
well, time is undefeated thus far.
No shit. Time fucking took her 12 rounds and beat the shit out of her.
Hey, there. I mean, she's got some good work done.
What?
I haven't seen a picture of her recently.
No, she hasn't got good work done. It's not aged well. Well, look, we're getting close to the end here. Final thoughts on Shawn Michaels. What's he mean to you? What's his impact in the industry mean to you?
I hate when I see exceptionally talented people be bad humans. Right. Yeah, just bad humans. However, it's undeniable that he was an amazing wrestler. Now, if you want to say amazing mat technician or anything like that, like, no, he was a showman for sure.
Right.
And I think that if anybody goes into the history of him, I would use that as a cautionary tale of don't think that your shit don't stink, because you'll end up getting beat up by a bunch of Marines.
Oh, that was pretty stiff. Well, I hate him.
It stinks.
And I almost hate his tag team partner as much as him.
Marty?
God.
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devolutor production and is produced by Timothy Styles and Cody Hancock, with web production and music by Timothy Styles. Follow the show on Instagram at Turnbuckle Boogie. And for merchandise, follow the link in the show notes to our Brainbuster Tea Store. See you next Monday.